This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's more of an oral experiment.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
It is time to pick up the pieces. That's what the name of this song is.
We're playing Jenga? There you go.
I thought you destroyed everything during your show.
Pick up the pieces!
Is that what we're tasked with doing now?
What do you mean?
Picking up the pieces of 95.7 The Game after the last 4 hours?
Please do.
We had a good show.
Yeah, you did. You did. I heard all of it.
You really did.
You did.
You did
the darn thing.
Just to let you know what Dibs walked in on. Dibs and Will are joining us on 95.7 The Game. Dibs walked in as... Just as I was saying, if you assume every fruit is at its best, what's your favorite fruit? And Dibs and Evan agreed, a strawberry.
I didn't know that was Evan's answer.
Yeah.
Normally, I would try to curry favor with Evan and go against you just as a default, but I thought about it. The banana's up there because when you get at just the right ripeness and it's different for every individual, your melon can be good and sweet. We have a cantaloupe right now that is elite. But I went strawberry.
I'd argue that when a banana is perfect is different depending on what you're planning to do with it.
Fair, and it's also subjective based on.
Hold on a second. Yeah, you don't want it. You don't want any firmness in the banana if you're making banana bread.
It's true.
You don't want that.
You want it almost molding.
And if it gets past, I'm going to eat a banana or banana bread, well, now we've got smoothie time.
Yeah,
it's true.
Cut that thing up, put it in the freezer.
I'm talking about the peel it and eat it banana, and different people like it at a different level of freckling.
Yes,
is that what it's called?
I like it.
Spotting.
Because the longer you let it go, also the sweeter it becomes. So
is that true?
Pretty sure. Yes.
See, I like it just when all the green's done. Like, I like it pretty firm.
Pre-freckles.
Yes.
Pre-spots.
Yeah. I don't like mushy.
It's basically a monkey.
You're right. We are picking up the pieces
there
after
you
the
go.
Last 4 hours.
We're picking up the we're picking up the banana peel.
Yeah.
How many blown fourth quarter leads for the banana?
Dibs came in with answers.
What a transition. Yeah.
It's funny because I heard you guys, and it was either you or a caller talking about, you know, why does Kyle Shanahan blow all these fourth quarter leads? And I thought to myself,
there
have been a few high profile ones, and we can put aside whether he's blowing them or not for the sake of my research. But I did the homework. I looked at every loss in the Kyle Shanahan era, because if it was a blown lead, it would have had to result in a loss.
And a blown lead is defined by any fourth quarter lead?
Entering the fourth quarter with the lead or having the lead in the fourth quarter.
At some point in the fourth
quarter.
Correct. Okay. I'm going to ask for...
Regular and postseason?
Correct.
Can you at least give us his total number of losses? Would that give a little bit of...
That would. And I don't have that in front of me.
Like his career record, essentially.
Mid-50s?
Right, mid-50s,
I think.
Okay.
Is now in his seventh year as a coach in the National Football League.
I'm going to say, I'll start the guessing.
Grandy, can we get some game show music, please, for the
actually, I think
the
this
mood?
Is his eighth year, but I don't want to get it.
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I count seven.
Seven.
I'm on seven.
Yeah, it's definitely year seven.
That's your
I don't know what difference that would make.
You
have 55 losses.
Hold on. I could have sworn I saw he and McVay are both in their eighth season. Somebody else start the guessing, please.
All right, I will go with the mid 50s.
He's got 53 regular season losses, and in the post, he would have
four losses.
Four, okay. So 57
losses. 57
losses. I'll say 28.
28
fourth quarter.
Oh God, give me
blown leads.
Put everything I own on the under.
Well, you don't get to play over under.
No, put it all on the under.
What's your guess? What's your number? And you did see me kind of scratching out the list, but you didn't see how far I went. Because I went all the way back.
I'm gonna say, like for instance, just so I'm understanding, like take Cleveland last year. That would count, right? Because they led at 1 point in the fourth quarter?
They led at 2 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so that counts.
It sure does,
all
Mark.
Right, I'm going to go 12.
12. Steiny.
I'm going to go under that.
Under
I'm going to say 9. But I think what's more important right now is this is Kyle's eighth season.
It is?
Yeah. He was hired February 6, 2017. 17, 18, 19,
20, 21,
22, 23.
Yeah, okay.
Well, then my list is incomplete. Well, because I didn't go all the way back to 2017, so.
Oh, shoot.
No, well, there's like 16
we can do
losses
that pretty
in there.
Quickly.
Well, they lost 10 games in 2017,
had a lead in 2017, so the answer is zero.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the year after, when they were dreadful, they actually blew four fourth quarter leads. Up to 2018, the answer was 17. And I did the research in light of your conversation, but also thinking about the Ram game where you had a 24-14 lead with 12 minutes left and they blew that game last Sunday and everyone now is outraged about these blown leads. So pending my research in 2017, and I apologize, Steiny, for impugning you and your deep knowledge about all things football, but yeah, it... 17. Including twice in the Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game.
Oh, yep. Boy.
All right, so let's throw the first year out. So in 7 years, it's 17. So he's averaging 2.2 blown leads a year.
So he just got one out of the way. Yeah.
Okay.
And all blown leads are not created equally because, I'm thinking about this one actually tickled me. They led at Denver 7-5 with 15 minutes to go.
They also
led 10-5
right.
with 5 minutes left.
But
and then
Jimmy G game.
I got an issue with the whole idea of using the word blown leads, using the phrase blown leads, and that covers all leads. To me, to blow a game, you probably got to be up by two scores.
I kind of agree with that.
If you're up by four going into the fourth quarter and the other team scores, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that being a blown game. Like, the other team scored. That, you know what I mean?
Well, I found another one. 2017.
Uh-oh.
They're up 9-6 against Seattle.
That's great.
They lost 12-9.
They should have been closer.
I'll say this, though. It felt like... Yes, but it sounded a little harsh, and I'll tell you why.
I did?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Right.
One of the things I learned in Catholic school was there's a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So Dibley was giving you a stat that it's accurate. It was the letter of the law. But I do agree, the spirit of the law is different, and I'm with you there.
Okay, thank you,
first of
all, for joining my TED Talk. And secondly, I don't know that it was the letter of the law because blown lead is not a definable, that's an emotional.
Oh, now I'm with you, Dibs.
Right?
Oh, boy.
No, but
this
I'm
guy.
Right. But am I not right?
No, that, technically, if it's 7-6 entering the fourth quarter and you lose, you blew a lead.
No, you can't. That's not in the dictionary. That's not, what does that mean?
Well, you know what else is also not in the dictionary?
What?
And you are hammering this guy all week so far, is the idea of a drop.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to say Brandon Ayuk has four drops because we think. Because
he does, in my opinion.
And again, this is where the subjectivity plays in because the official drop stat, which is, by the way, an unofficial drop stat, they have him with two drops.
Right.
And You know, people want to say that those were drops against the Rams. I watched it now for a third time, and you'd be hard-pressed to call those drops.
Well, the one looked like it might have only been tipped.
Listen, I would argue, this conversation was born out of someone coming on our show and saying, this is a $30 million receiver. You need to just feed him, force it to him. All right, if that's the premise, then I'm going to ask you to make the tougher catch.
That's fair.
That's all.
Can I?
That's all.
How about this?
Wait, by the way, Sean McVay had that legendary stat about leading in half, right? It's like he just didn't blow second half leads or lose or lose second half leads.
There you go. I like that better.
45 in a row. Like that is pretty incredible.
Sure.
I think that's and then it ended up being like 50-1 or because Shanahan ended up getting him the last week of 2021 or something like that. So I think it's fair to say, like, if you're going to give credit to him for never losing a second-half lead, then...
Yeah, it's just hard, I think. Like, you go into a great game. Any great game, I would argue, there's lead change in the fourth quarter, which then means whoever lost blew the game.
No, I agree with that.
That's hard. That's hard. You know, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, did someone blow the lead?
Yeah.
Well, 13 seconds left.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody blew the game four times.
I mean, if it's I don't know. Chiefs, Bills, 14-10 entering the fourth quarter, it's like, okay, you'd realize the team with 10 could win. You know what I mean?
Every time Tom Brady did it, the other team blew it.
Yeah.
Can't happen.
Well, and here's one where you look at Shanahan, and it's 2021 against Green Bay, and they lead 28-27 with 37 seconds left, and you lose by three.
Yeah.
That's when Rodgers did something.
Yeah, he went Devontae Spike, that's then Mason Crosby from 50-something. Now, is it Kyle's fault because he left too much meat on the bone? Maybe, but every blown lead is not created equally. And I found two so far in 2017. So hopefully by the end here, I'll have the exact number. And Evan, you might actually
better.
Did you write them down to know how large the blown lead was?
Yes. I have a score and time and score.
How many two scores?
2020, they were up 16-6 against Seattle.
Yeah, on pad and pencil.
After three. I sharpened it this morning.
Ticonderoga.
They lost that one by three. Super Bowl in 2020, you're up by 10.
The three we know real well, which is the two Super Bowls and the NFC Championship.
2018, you were beating Arizona 15-3 with 13 minutes to go.
Wow.
And you choked that one away. 18-15 was the loss.
Okay.
And that so far is the collection of...
So five?
Of 10-point games. Yeah, but when you're up 7-5, Mark, you got to be able to close.
All right.
You got Jimmy Garoppolo.
Thank you. Well, and he'd already sashayed out of the back of the end zone at that point.
Saved himself from actually losing the lead.
See, I'm more interested in Mark Willard saying something about Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Because I'm fascinated with literal and figurative.
Mm. Okay.
We're now, where do you come down on this? We're now calling Brandon Ayuk a $30 million receiver. He got a four-year, $120 million deal. But he's not really making 30 a year.
Not yet.
He's making 24 this year.
Actually, he's making 14 this year.
No, they added 10 to it.
If you want to, okay.
But the signing bonus.
Yeah. But with the signing bonus was based on the extension. But yes, go ahead.
Well, I want to ask this question too is ordinarily when you extend a guy like Ayuk, it kicks in next year, right? He would have played. Like Amon-Ra,
they all do, except for there is a portion that is quote duet signing.
Okay, so
that's
what I got. You
know what I mean?
But
like,
his salary
this year is still 14.
He got paid.
Yeah, gotcha. But he's really only making like 27.
I mean, yeah, these are labels that, and this is coming off a conversation that we had with his personal coach, TJ Houshmandzadeh, who kept referring to him. Right, as a $30 million receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more sort of emotional even than factual. All NFL contracts are. You know what I mean?
No one's
necessarily making what we've all said that they're going to make. And in some cases, they're making more. Some cases, they'll make a whole lot less. So I think everyone gets what we're talking about, though. And if that's what we're going to say, you can use this from two sides, which is... And this is what TJ was doing, which is, if you're going to pay this guy, then play him the way you pay him.
Yeah,
and then my response would be, then he needs to perform that way as well. So there's a push-pull there.
The interesting part for me is, having gone through every one of his targets today, he actually was used like a $30 million receiver, because two of his targets never showed up because of penalty. On their second drive, they targeted him seven times on the drive. Yeah. And the interesting thing, and I haven't seen the all 22, but the Rams did start to give him more attention in the second half, which is why he only got three targets. They took him away after halftime now. Is it up to Shanahan to make sure he doesn't get taken away? Maybe, but if I refer you to my previous list, you found your way to scheme your way to a 10-point lead with 12 minutes to go, even though Ayuk didn't do much in the second half. So that, for me, is not on Ayuk or Shanahan, really.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
You know, there also might be somewhat of an adjustment period for Ayuk now being the sole number one receiver, which he never really had to deal with in the true term, which is you're out there and nobody else is going to give you any help. Like, you don't have a Debo or a Kittle or a McCaffrey to draw attention, which is what he's been playing with for the past two seasons. So, I mean, again, it's like, it's an excuse, but at the same time, you know, I think the fact that he didn't have training camp, which is his fault, I expect him to receive, you know, double-digit targets like he did last weekend, and hopefully find a way to come down with some. You know, I don't think Tre'Davious White is like a shutdown corner anymore.
Not anymore.
For the Rams.
And so, he did get help. I know what you're saying, which is that the defense may not have been guarding the 49ers as if he had any help, but that ends up being a good thing, doesn't it? He got help. He got the form of Juwan Jennings for 179 yards and three scores.
Believe it or not, that's help. That's kind of the way I look at it. I don't look at it as one receiver and another receiver. I kind of throw them together as a package. Because if you're telling me that Brandon Ayuk's getting double teamed, and that's why he has five catches for 50 yards, but because he's getting double teamed, Juwan Jennings gets 10 for 170? Who cares?
Like,
he's obviously getting those numbers because of how they're defending Ayuk to some extent.
To a degree, sure. I mean, that's the way. I agree with you. I have all kinds of Brandon Ayuk frustration. I have no Brandon Ayuk concerns. The only concern I have is, and this is a larger than Brandon thing, which is what I said the other day, which is I just think the wide receiver market is out of whack. And it's not, I would not put that much resources into wide receivers. The Niners are paying two of them. And one of the reasons is, for instance, what's happening to the Dolphins right now, where $58 million are tied up into two useless players because you don't have anybody who can get them the ball. So, like, I don't think wide receivers are that tied to winning to where they should get that much of your cap. That's me. But that's the macro. The micro on Brandon, he'll get better. He'll get better, and we can be as frustrated as long as each one of us want to be. But yeah, like I don't have any concerns that he like stinks now or something like that. I don't think that at all.
The one thing I do the one thing I do wonder with Ayuk, because you're hearing whispers of it. Do you believe there's anything more going on with Ayuk than simply off to a slow start because he's a little rusty?
That's all it is.
Okay.
And, you know, having gone over the tape now multiple times, he's going to have a monster game on Sunday against New England. Mark my words. And I think the biggest issue right now with Ayuk is that he and Brock are not on the same page. A couple of the incompletes, he either didn't run a crisp enough route or Brock thought he was going to be somewhere where he wasn't. The two drops, one was well covered and kind of a juggle ball, and the other one was just a little bit behind him, and I don't think that he and Brock are totally on the same page yet.
I would argue at least my eyes are out for what might be a little bit of a mental struggle for Brandon right now. I do think that there's probably something going on for a couple of reasons. One, this whole thing has to have shaken his branches a little bit. Like, he's getting talked about 18 times more than ever before. The microscope is hotter. There was a lot of controversy now for a lot of months. And then Debo and George get hurt. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, do it right now. And he's dropped balls. And so, is he putting pressure on himself? Sure. Look at the way he handled the offseason when there was, like, a big thing. It was social media, TikTok, podcast, Jaden Daniels, poop emojis, all of these things. So Brandon has already proven himself to be somebody who I think starts to feel mentally unsettled when things around him aren't going well. So I bet there's some of that.
I mean, I think it's as simple as he's a wide receiver too who makes elite wide receiver money. I mean, if you put him on a team with a clear-cut $30 million receiver, he's not getting more targets than Tyreek. He's not going to get more targets than CD. I don't think he gets more targets than maybe even Amon-Ra if he's on the Lions. I know there's different positions that they play, but if you stack him up with the players that he has paid in the same region, he's a step below those players. And that doesn't mean that he's not a really good wide receiver. It doesn't mean that he can't put up good numbers and he can't have a bounce-back game this week against a lowly Patriots team that the Niners should take care of. But I think that's what people are now frustrated with, is that he makes the kind of money that players in a particular stratosphere make, and he's not that level of player. I don't think he's that elite.
Well, he'll never be that level of player. Yeah, because they don't ask him to do that. So I just look at this last game, and he got over the top.
Well, but now they are asking him to do that.
Oh, with the guys injured.
Yeah, with guys hurt, they are asking him to do that.
They're not asking him to go out there and have 18 targets, though, and absolutely carry the team. They're just asking him to be the best version of himself within the construct of this offense. And I look at the game against the Rams where he beats his defender over the top, and Brock throws it 50 yards down, and it's a yard too far, and he got held on the play. And then later in that drive, he beats his man, and it's pass interference. So he was making plays to get open and drawing flags, but he's yet to have that impactful breakout game like Juwan Jennings had.
I think what you're talking about is focal point. Like, I think both of you, with what you just said, are correct. Like, Brandon Ayuk, it's not, and I don't, Evan, even look at it as he's necessarily a lesser player. You can have that opinion. He's lesser than Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's not the focal point for the 49ers that some of those other players are within their offense. And I think that's what TJ was asking for yesterday. Like, absolutely make the 49er offense the identity of it, at least in this vacuum, with no Christian, no George, no Debo. The identity of this offense should be Brandon. And I don't think Kyle operates that way. I don't think he's interested in that right
now. He doesn't do focal point. And think about last year in the past game, he and Debo and George and Christian, they had almost identical targets over the course of the season. I think Brandon had the most, 105, right, was the number of targets. But Shanahan doesn't want anyone to be the, quote, focal point over the course of a whole season.
I've always been fascinating with that in any sport, like pecking orders.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, basketball, if you score 100 points, you want all your starters to score 20? Or do you want one guy to score 30, one guy to score 25, and three guys to score 15 and 10?
In a perfect world, yes, but it's not as if Kyle Shanahan hasn't worked with great wide receivers before. Like, that are clearly a step above.
Julio Jones,
Andre Johnson in Houston, even who's my guy who smoked weed in Cleveland? Josh Gordon. So, but like, it isn't as if, sorry.
Did more than smoke weed.
And he smoked in more places than Cleveland. Good point taken. It's just, no, go ahead. That was great.
And certainly he wasn't the only person who smoked in Cleveland.
No, he was not. My point is that he has found ways to get the balls to the people that need the balls to get to. You know, and Brandon Ayuk is, in my opinion, he's just not one of those players.
And that's fine. That's also something I was trying to access from TJ yesterday, because at times he sounded kind of like what you just said, which was Kyle's got to get him the ball. And I was trying to ask him, like, well, except for we always compliment Brock Purdy for going through progressions. So I don't think it's this A to B where it's like, come on, coach, get him the ball. Well, you can call play for someone and you may end up going to option two. You may end up going to option three. Who's open out there? The whole thing is just a blend of all of that information. And I'd argue that that's kind of just the way that it went last weekend. Juwan's not going for
this show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
For over 100 every game. Like, that's not...
Stiney kind of hopes he does.
Yeah, maybe he will. Team. Yeah, well, I'm playing you this week, so hopefully not. Although I got him in another league. So anyway, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we're not doing three tuds and 100, a buck 80 every week.
Of course not.
That's not... Yeah. That probably, honestly, will probably never happen again.
But I would say that, yeah. And you made this point yesterday, like, when Debo does come back, what do you do about your receivers? Because as you know, Stiney, they do run a lot of 21 personnel, yes, with the two receivers, so... Do you just go to more 11 personnel, and then Kyle Juszczyk is kind of relegated to the bench? It's going to be Kittle and Mason, and then you go three receivers, and Juszczyk plays less?
I think you go right back to who you were. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Kyle's going to get wooed by, ooh, suddenly we found Juwan Jennings. Now we got to let him cook at the expense of two $25-plus million receivers. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to go that way. It only goes that way if Brandon keeps this up. Well, if this play from Brandon never gets better, then you can start looking at the lineup.
What's Pearsall's role going to be if he can play? I'm not saying. Yeah. I mean, he's got to play, but if he's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the Ronnie Bell role, and that's what I was saying on Monday. Like, you can't cut Ronnie Bell yet because you need a body right now. And he plays more than Chris Conley, and you can say he probably shouldn't, but right now you've got four healthy receivers, not counting Jacob Cowing, who is not seen as a wide receiver yet by Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I guess that'd be the reason why he would usurp Ronnie Bell, just because he returns punts. But I don't know. I mean, people are clamoring for Cowing. It's like, you know, again, it's the back end of your wide receiving core. I don't know. Look, you got to catch that ball, but at the same time, I'm not going to put blame at the feet of somebody that on an ideal day is not even in the game. I don't know.
I will. He's getting a paycheck, and he's got a uniform. That's the whole point. Like, I love sometimes we do this professional sports. I don't care if you're third, fourth, or fifth. You're pretty amazing. You're on the 49ers. I don't think it's hard to ask a wide receiver to catch a ball, even if he's on the practice squad.
It is, but he also could have been picked up by somebody else, or Brock Purdy on a 3rd and 10, because that wasn't the end of the drive. Could have made a play. Like, he couldn't pick up his team, and his team couldn't pick him up.
Who?
Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
I'd argue that, well, we got to go pretty far down the list, because Brock actually made a brilliant play to get into field goal range, and then the kicker missed. But
So are we going to kill Jake Moody, too?
No. No one's killing anybody. You know what I mean? Like, this is a... That it was a collective failure on a bunch of fronts. I do think this. I wonder what you guys think about this, because we're going to ask callers this here pretty quick. I think it's funny when we come out of a game like that. You know what percentage share I'd love to hear? How much talk has there been about the offense and Kyle versus the defense?
And Nick Sorensen.
Because this, to me, it's not even close right now in terms of what the Niners' problem is. But we have a habit in this town, which is when the Niners lose, we talk about Kyle Shanahan. And then Brock Purdy some too. And I'd argue that, like, the offensive side of the ball, to me, especially missing three of its top players, looked outstanding. Yes, there were individual problems, Ronnie Bell, etc. There were problems, but the offense did fine. And what was the drive chart? What do we got? Two punts?
Yeah.
Two punts, and one of them was caused by a penalty, and the other one was caused by Ronnie Bell's drop.
Two punts and
two
a fumble.
Punts. Two punts and a
two
fumble.
Two punts and a fumble.
So the offense is fine. The defense and the special teams lost this football game. And I would argue was the worst side. I know people will go, but 17 points. I'd argue was the bigger problem against Minnesota, too.
Yeah. I'll just say this before you go, Stiney.
Sure.
That if Steve Kerr was the head coach of the 49ers, they wouldn't have lost that game. You know why?
Why?
Because he hates young players. He wouldn't have had these youngsters on the field. Mustafa missing the tackle on a punt coverage. And Ronnie Bell, inexperienced. with the big time drop, and Dominic Pooney, who all of a sudden, after 1 week, he's off to Canton, and now 2 games later, I don't know about that.
The other one was, the young player. Oh, Guerrero.
Oh, yeah.
Looked a little better.
He looked a lot better.
Yeah, he was good.
No doubt.
That's good. What I was trying to say. All right, guys.
Where were you trying to say it?
I was trying to say it on one of the... Oh, no, I'm going to make it the best sports talk radio show in the land, 95.7 The Game.